This podcast was recorded on Thursday, August 23rd at 10:50 a.m. Things might have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like I could be on paid suspension or making a plea deal to get out of false statements.
The old false statements. Not lies, false statements. Steve, you wouldn't do that. Let's talk politics. Welcome to Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly political podcast. I'm Mike Thompson, joining the podcast from weird Austin, Texas.
I hear it is weird. I'm Steve Brown, still stuck here in Central Ohio. This week, we will look at dueling campaign ads and the race for governor. One candidate embraces his nerd credentials, while another runs on his record of testing rape kits.
We'll also follow the governor, who was very busy this week, patting himself on the back for expanding Ohio's Medicaid program.
We will have an update on the special election in Central Ohio's 12th congressional district. First of all, Mike, you are, as you said, in Austin, Texas this week for a public radio conference.
Yeah, a lot of public radio colleagues from around the country putting our heads together to make public radio great again, but it's kind of cool. You know, Columbus makes news down here because of the whole battle over the Columbus crew. And the front page of the Austin American Statesman today, they have picked a name for the team. Wait for it. It's called Austin FC.
Very creative.
Boring. Boring. But there's another challenge to the stadium. The county where the stadium will be built is challenging its tax-exempt status. So the battle down here is not quite over, but it's getting close to being over. And, of course, there's the big Senate race between Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. And there are signs around Austin. Just say Beto. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Beto O'Rourke.
Have you seen Beto or Beto? I've heard both skateboarding around Austin. He's a big skateboarder.
No, I haven't. But, it's pretty hot. It's like 102 degrees here in the afternoon. So there are some scooters around, but people tend to stay inside when it's this hot.
All right, transitioning now from Texas politics to Central Ohio politics.
Yeah, Democrat Danny O'Connor got more bad news this week. He is locked in a still razor-thin race with Republican Troy Balderson. More and more counties are certifying their results from the August 7th election, and Balderson's lead is not shrinking.
It is not. It is growing. In Balderson's native Muskingum County, the Republican got more than twice as many votes as O'Connor. No surprise there at all. In Delaware County, one of the counties where O'Connor had to have a better-than-expected showing, Balderson still increased his lead by 826 votes compared to when the polls closed on election night.
The updated tally gives Balderson a lead of 1,781 votes. That's nearly an impossible lead to overcome with fewer and fewer ballots left to count. But Steve, Danny O'Connor is not conceding.
No, he is not conceding. I think his best hope at this point is to get it within 0.5% to trigger an automatic recount under state law. But that, even that, is looking less and less likely. Franklin County is expected to certify their votes on Friday. I would imagine O'Connor would pick up some votes there. He is, it's a more Democratic area. He's from here. He's the Franklin County recorder. But I still honestly at this point would be surprised if it's even within 0.5%.
Yeah, I think just, Danny O'Connor, he wants to make sure every vote is counted as is his right and what he should do, frankly. And he's still raising money off of this, saying, sending out emails. The Democrats are sending out emails, help Danny O'Connor make sure every vote is counted, help with a recount if it happens. So he's using it to raise a little money, keep his name in the news. And the bottom line is it's basically a tie. Balderson likely will take the oath, but the two men will face off again in November.
Moving away from Congress to the race to be Ohio's next governor.
We're getting closer to November, which means we're getting more and more campaign ads showing up on your computer, on your television. This week, Richard Cordray embraced his nerd credentials in touting his five times as a Jeopardy champion.
It's hang on, Sloopy. Sloopy, hang on.
Not the best audio there, Mike. It's very hard to hear what's going on. The bad ad is basically playing on Jeopardy, where it's asking about the song Hang On Sloopy. Rich Cordray chimes in. There's video of him as a very young man in 1987, and he's really going after the nerd vote is what he's doing.
Has the same haircut as he had back then, and it's odd they couldn't use the Jeopardy theme song, because I'm sure that's protected mm-hmm. by copyright, so they had to use something similar, kind of a theme song, game show theme song, you know, knockoff. But yeah, he's trying to, you know, he's embracing his awkwardness, his, you know, his low-key nature. So, you know, it's not a bad strategy. Meanwhile, his opponent, Mike DeWine, is playing up his credentials as a public servant who is tough on sexual assault.
The assailant had a gun, and he pointed it to my head. And I was raped.
While Richard Cordray was attorney general, 12,000 rape kits like Alyssa's were left untested. Cordray's failure left serial rapists free to strike again. Then Mike DeWine became attorney general. He tested
there, Cordray failed, according to Mike DeWine. Cordray was quick to come back with a release saying that it is sad to see DeWine playing politics with something as serious and sensitive as rape kits. I think that's a little too much of a reaction from Cordray. That's the reaction he has to make, right, when he's questioning his record on these kits. I think it's in bounds. I mean, Cordray was the attorney general, and, you know, Mike DeWine has made this his issue, so he's given it more attention than anybody in the history of the Ohio Attorney General's office. But I think it's fair.
Oh, yeah, I think the ad is it's a very effective ad. I mean, you have to say that, you know, the backlog and the rape kits preceded Cordray, mm-hmm. but it continued under Cordray. So it's not totally inaccurate. It leaves out the fact that there were attorneys general before Cordray who also are responsible, you could argue, for the backlog. And Mike DeWine has eliminated that backlog, has worked hard to do that. So this is a legitimate issue, a legitimate ad, and a legitimate separator between him and Richard Cordray. And also, you know, Mike DeWine's faced some criticism from police organizations, did not get the police union endorsement because of the controversy over the bulletproof vests and failing to provide them and taking some heat on that. So that kind of counters that in a fairly effective way, I think.
We're still 3 months away from the election. I got to say, this is the most boring campaign for governor I can remember in a long time. Both of these guys are both really smart, super qualified candidates, but they are just—it's just a snooze fest at this point. This is the most controversial thing we've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's going to get nastier. I mean, Cordray is keeping his powder dry. He has those cute ads to sort of introduce him to Ohio voters, self-deprecating, which always is frankly, I think, a good thing for a politician to do. Especially someone who is, you know, takes criticism for being low key and frankly kind of boring. I think the ads are very effective in making fun of that, and making fun of himself, which is something that voters and people tend to like. But the negative ads are coming, and there's a lot of them out there. There are going to be ads linking Richard Cordray to Elizabeth Warren, to Nancy Pelosi. There'll be ads criticizing Mike DeWine for his handling of the ECOT virtual charter school situation and his handling of the fight against the opioid crisis. They're coming in the next couple of months.
Let's turn now from the campaign for governor to our current governor, John Kasich, GPS.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were.
This is the weekly segment where we follow the governor around the country doing whatever it is he is doing, book tours, campaign stops, whatever it is. This week he was here in Central Ohio, and he was very aggressively patting himself on the back for the effects of his expansion of Ohio's Medicaid program.
Yes, he's trying to basically maintain his legacy after he leaves office. This was a message purely aimed at the incoming legislature and the incoming governor, whoever that might be. He wants Medicaid expansion to continue as is. He pointed to the success, and it, you know, there are some successes. The number of uninsured in Ohio has dropped pretty dramatically. The number of folks who are able to get treatment for their opioid addiction and get health care while looking for work or maintaining their jobs, you could say that's a success. And John Kasich is just trying to make sure that the political will is there to maintain this after he leaves office.
I would go a step further and give John Kasich a little credit for making this such an issue. Mike DeWine, who says he was always in favor of Medicaid expansion, that's kind of a questionable claim. He was certainly not a vocal proponent of it until, I'm assuming, internal polling showed him that it was a good position to take. John Kasich has been out front on this for years, and I wonder how much his comments have shifted public opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, John Kasich forced Mike DeWine's hand. Mm-hmm. The Republican way to go is to say that we don't want Medicaid expansion. We want to do it our way. We don't need to take on this major component of Obamacare. But because John Kasich has really been, he did it, first of all, and he's been consistently pushing it, not just in this news conference, but talking about it, you know, frequently, that public opinion does favor it. The polls show that people favor this this program.
Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. Mike, I hope you enjoy sunny, weird, / soccer team poaching Austin, Texas, and you should be back in Central Ohio next week.
Yes, I will. It's hot here, but it's a cool town. I can see why the crew wants to move here. Well, at least why the Supreme Court wants to move here. So, but
yeah, good barbecue and good live music, I know.
Yes, I've seen some good live music. It's a fun little town. But it's no Columbus, though, so I'm eager to get there.
Until next week, I'm Steve Brown for WOSU Public Media.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster.